international tourism, you know.
Joanne, is there anything left to discover?
I really don't know. That's the excitement because, I mean, who'd have predicted, you know, Mark Antony and Barnsley? I mean, you never know where the next discovery is going to be made. I have a feeling it could well be more Roman remains in Barnsley. So, you know, watch this space, I think.
Joanne, we eagerly and delightedly accept your silver denarius into the museum and let no one henceforth underestimate the importance of Barnsley in world affairs.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Joanne. So there we have it. The museum now has three new items. A coin that tells us that Yorkshire is the centre of the universe, a compass that points ever onwards in slightly the wrong direction, and something for slightly short-sighted people, particularly Mark. My thanks to Joanne Fletcher, Mark Watson and John Blashford Snell, and to Terry Pratchett for this useful piece of advice. Build a man a fire and he'll be warm for a day. Set a man on fire and he'll be warm for the rest of his life.
Thank you very much.
The Museum of Curiosity was curated by John Lloyd and Humphrey Carr, with research by James Harkin and Stephen Colgan of QI. The exhibits were kindly donated by Professor Joanne Fletcher, Colonel John Blashford Snell and Mark Watson. And the producers of Curiosity were Richard Turner and Dan Schreiber.
Next week, Professor Lloyd and Humphrey Carr will be joined by the rock star Amanda Palmer, the anthropologist Professor Volker Sommer, and the comedian Andrew O'Neill.
The digital station for comedy, drama, and entertainment. BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Now, Roy Kinnear is Superintendent Brabazon. As the Beavers are expecting the devil at number 42, Brabazon and the squad are out to foil their plans. Can they save suburbia from Satanism? I do not understand anything I've just said.
The Phenomenon Squad by Michael Snellgrove, with Roy Kinnear and Simon Cadell.
Right then, Endicott Heap napkins. Let's run over the scenario again, shall we?
Why not, sir? You've run over nearly everything else.
We pull up outside the Kibblewhites' house.
Endicott Heap and I get out of the car. We look at the house. We point, we laugh. You expand a few salient details, sir. We look cynical. Endicott Heap asks a searching question about the guttering.
And that question is... Endicott Heap.
He's sulking, sir.
Listen, Endicott Heap. I know you're upset about being demoted from Deputy Assistant Commissioner to Inspector, but do you think it's easy for me, being your superior officer? Seeing the spasm of pain that crosses your face whenever you call me sir? Oh,
I don't think it's that, sir.
Then what?
He wants to be the estate agent. Don't you, Endicott Heap?
Yes.
But that's... Look, I've planned this operation meticulously. I'm the estate agent and you're the newly married couple I'm bringing to look at a house. It's only a device to get us inside unnoticed. Once we're in, we start the surveillance.
Of number 42?
That's right. The house we're watching from belongs to a couple called the Kibblewhites, and this is the way we get in without arousing suspicion.
I can't believe a group of Satanists operates on a nice executive estate like this. I mean, some of these houses have got double garages.
I've spent hours trying to get myself inside an estate agent.
Oh, don't start.
I've doused myself with cheap aftershave and all over body spray that smells like rancid brake fluid. I even bought myself this disgusting suit.
I quite like that suit.
Look at all these ghastly houses. How can I identify with the character who'd want to live in this nouveau riche ghetto? I can't find the motivation.
But you could for an estate agent.
Oh, God, yes. What? Selling stone-clad rabbit hutches to ex-secondary mod sales reps? It's a doddle.
Listen, I'm too old to play Nutkin's newlywed husband.
I don't know, sir. I've always had a bit of a thing about the older man. Ooh, steady, sir.
Listen, Endicott Heap, Roderick... If you've really set your heart on being the estate agent...
No. It's all right. You do it, sir.
Surely you don't want to throw away weeks of Stanislavski in preparation down a plug hole.
Well, if you insist, sir, I need to think myself more deeply into character.
Are we coupled then, sir?
yes, yeah.
I think this is the road.
Now, When we turn into it, I want you to see if you can spot the other lads. You won't find it easy because I've told them to blend into the surroundings as inconspicuously as possible. Well?
Gosh. This is difficult, sir. Now, let me see. Is that... No, it can't be. But it is. That's Humby up the telegraph pole, isn't it, sir?
Posing as an engineer. Thus he can intercept phone messages.
Upside down, swinging gently in the breeze.
Eh?
He's tangled up in the wires.
And what a lovely touch. A patrol of wolf cubs attacking him with catapults. It's naturalism run mad.
Crombie's supposed to be taking those wolf cubs from door to door doing bobber jobs. It's his cover. Where is he?
Is that him, sir? In the shorts and cork blackened face, you can just spot him crawling through the undergrowth of number 24.
Why on earth is he doing that?
Perhaps it's for his woodcraft badge.
He's letting those cubs run wild. I promise the parents they'll be returned undamaged.
Ah, that's McTooley posing as the postman, over there.
What a fine young officer he is.
Shouldn't he be delivering letters?
He is.
Not quite, sir. He's knocking on doors asking for them back.
McTooley! McTooley!
Hello, sir.
What do you think you're doing?
I ran out of letters after 15 minutes, sir. I thought an empty-handed postman might arouse suspicion, so I'm going round asking for them back.
And you don't think delivering the same letter twice arouses suspicion?
I've thought of that. I'm delivering them to a different address second time around.
Brilliant.
Was there anything for number 42?
An application form for the Dennis Wheatley Book Club, sir.
Uh-huh.
That's what I thought. Thank you, thanks, sir. Thanks very much. It's my first Christmas box, and it's only February. Well, bye.
Here we are. This'll do. The Kibblewhite abode.
We haven't seen Sigaloff, sir.
Nor we have. Thank God one of the squad's keeping a low profile.
What's his cover, sir? Don't tell me. Let me guess.
Is milk floats taking the car door off?
We're drawing undue attention to ourselves, sir. I can see vertical blinds twitching up and down the road.
Right. Here we go. Look up at the house, Nutkins. What are you doing, Endicott Heap?
My actor studio warm-up, sir.
Forget all that. People are staring.
Then I got my concentration exercise to do, yes?
We've pointed. We laugh. Ha, ha, ha.
Ha,
Now you point out a few salient details, Endicott Heap.
Point.
Very convincing.
What do you expect? We're inside this character yet.
And now you ask the question about the guttering, sir.
Is it galvanised?
What does that mean?
Ring the bell, Endicott Heap.
See, if I've been given enough time for an in-depth background research, I could answer that question with no problem. Mr. Kibblewhite?
Oh, Superintendent Brabazon and party, is it? Come in.
Thanks, sir.
If you'd like to note the well-stocked garden with an ensuite pond...
Come on, you two.
Those gnomes will have to go.
Shall we move through, Menon?
By all means.
And this is the hall. Doors off to dining room, lounge and kitchen, a telephone point,
you
all
can
round
stop
paint.
Now,
heck! Just as I was getting into the character. I need to feel an instinctive rapport with him. He windsurfs at weekends. He has a girlfriend called something hideous, like Donna.
Perhaps you'd like to have a look round the rest of the house.
No, I don't think...
I'd love to.
I hope you don't mind, but we've arranged for some other couples to inspect the house during the day. We didn't like to turn them away because we haven't had many people interested as yet.
Not surprised. That skirting board hasn't seen a duster for years.
That might be tricky. The estate agent thing was just a ruse to get us in the house. Now we'll have to maintain the illusion all day.
Don't you worry, sir. I'll look after them. And I can really get to grips with this character.
I'm not so sure that that's...
Could I introduce my wife, Donna?
Charming name. Charming.
Hello.
These are the policemen I was telling you about, sweetheart.
Lovely.
Anything we can do, Superintendent? Anything at all? We feel very strongly about the maintenance of law and order, don't we, Donna?
Very strongly, yes.
What line of business are you in?
Replacement windows, direct selling by phone. I trust I shan't disturb you if it's business as usual today.
Oh, you just carry on exactly as normal, Mr. Kibblewhite. We don't want to do anything to arouse the suspicions of those at number 42.
Do you know I still find it hard to believe it of the Beavers?
The who?
The Beavers.
Ken and Doris at number 42. Leaders of a Satanist sect, you see.
We have reason to believe so, yes.
And yet they keep their maestro spotless, don't they, Donna? Spotless.
Spotless.
Oh, by the by, a few of Donna's friends will be popping in during the course of the day. It's quite customary.
Just a cup of something and a bit of Tupperware on the side, you know.
Oh, a Tupperware party?
Yes. Well, at least that's
love them. I always have to buy something. I've got 15 salad crispers at home and salad brings me out in a rash.
Oh, and there'll be a few friends dropping in later on, if that's all right.
My word. I hadn't realised what a mad social whirl it was amongst the lumpen proletariat.
Let's make a start. We'll use the front bedroom for surveillance. You take the high-powered binoculars, Nutkins.
Well, I must start the daily round. I think this young lady wanted to see the house, Donna.
Oh, see the house? Yes. Well, as you can see...
Excuse me. May I? Do you mind? Thank you. As you can see, this is a very attractive little space under the stairs. Now, it may look like a broom cupboard, but we think with just a little imagination, it could easily be converted into a fourth bedroom. Just a few shelves here, a bit of carpet on the floor.
I shan't be disturbing you if I squat myself down here to phone, shall I, Super?
No, you go right at... Struth!
Do you know, that's the 10th postal delivery this morning and none of it's for us. I'm going to have a few words with that postman.
Leave it to me, Derek.
Tooley, sir, I think that... look out, Tooley. Get out of the road, sir.
It
was Sigalov, sir. He must have been doing about 65.
Did you catch what he was screaming?
Something about the batteries and the float being overcharged.
You're drawing attention to yourself, McDooley. Get out of the gutter. Come inside.
A pleasure, sir. I'm up to my knees in milk and low-fat yoghurt.
Oh, I see. The postman and the milkman are your boys, are they, Super?
Working undercover, yes.
Oh, I begin to see the scope of your operation. Very impressive. Oh, by the by, there's an apparently deaf man on the phone for you. I couldn't make much sense of him.
Right. who's that speaking?
All of you boys, one more pebble and...
Humby.
Pardon?
Listen to me, Humby.
I'm under attack by wolf cubs, sir.
Ah, there you are, McTooley. Now, stop dripping over Mr. Kibblewhite's shag pile and go and help Humby. And for God's sake, don't draw unnecessary attention to yourself.
I'd better change into my next disguise then, sir. Some of the residents are getting a bit bossy about their post. One of them set fire to my bake.
Help is on the way, Humby. Now get off the line. There we are, Mr. Kibblewhite. The phone's all yours.
Oh, thank you. Cheers. Oh, that'll probably be the couple to look at the house. Would you be so kind?
Well, oh, excuse me, sir. Let's leave it to the professionals. Shall we?
Good morning to you. Mr. and Mrs. Dashwood, yes. Isn't it? My name's Rod, and I'm here to show you around. Please come in. Please come in. As you know, there are two reception beds. Excuse me, thank you, not at all, my fault. One ensuite, fitted kitchen, gas central heating through Brad's, 24-hour paintwork, pitched roof for angled sunbathing, cupboards at the stairs, 4th, 5th, 7th and 8th bedrooms for study.
I'm very sorry, Donna, but if I hadn't tried to bleach off that tide mark, I wouldn't have been able to live with myself. Well, you should have said it was a plastic bath. Surprising how quickly it melted.
Yes.
Well, I'd take it back if I was you.
Right, sir. I'm off.
What have you got on, McTooley?
A dog collar, sir. I'm posing as a Seventh-day Adventist.
They don't wear dog collars.
You're joking.
They're all crew cuts and stay-pressed suits. They look like cast-offs from IBM.
Oh.
Oh, it's my friend's bearing Tupperware.
Oh.
And Maureen's brought her outsized goods catalogue.
Oh.
We're in for an exciting morning, Superintendent. Through into the lounge, ladies. You know where it is.
Shall we go upstairs now, Nutkins?
Could I just get one thing clear, sir? We are out of role as newlyweds now, aren't we?
Oh, yes, naturally.
Only in my experience, it's just as well to get these things sorted out so as to save any unprofessional misunderstandings once we're on the job.
Yes, yeah. We'll leave you to go about your legitimate business in peace, Mr. Kibblewhite.
Right you are, Superintendent. Ah, I'm through at last. Mr. Bray, it's Derek Kibblewhite. No, I wouldn't hang up if I were you, Mr. Bray, because I might take that amiss.
Oh, yes, we have, Mr. Bray. We've got a very great deal to discuss.
I've quite taken to the Kibblewhites. Nice, ordinary, decent people. It gives you kind of a glow, doesn't it, Nutkins? Knowing that people like them can carry on their ordinary, humdrum, daily lives. Knowing that the forces of law and order are there to protect them.
All I know is I'd give anything to have a go at her paintwork with a bottle of Jif.
Anything interesting in the street?
Let's have a look. Nothing from 42, sir. Sigaloff's just made another high-speed pass, followed by a group of residents waving their empties.
Oh.
And McTooley's still trying to placate the man from the NSPCC.
Oh, well, lunchtime. I'm going to find something to eat. Can I get you something?
I wouldn't mind a nibble, sir.
No, right.
Because my associates and I will have to take much more serious, shall we say, physical measures. No, tonight, Mr. Bray, cash in full.
Excuse me, Mr. Kibblewhite.
Yes, Superintendent, what can I do for you?
Well, we were just wondering about lunch.
Perhaps you'd care to have a word with Donna about the comestibles. She's in the lounge with her chums.
Oh, thanks very much.
Mr. Bray, you agreed to have the most expensive meal.
No, it's my turn, Heidi. Heidi, pass me the tube. No, you suck it, Heidi. Suck it. Oh, what was that you were saying about the sandwich boxes, Anita? Resealable, are they? That... Oh, Superintendent. Ladies, this is Superintendent...
Brabazon. Yeah, very nice to meet you, ladies. Your husband said I should ask you about refreshments, Mrs. Kibblewhite.
Refreshment? You mean food? Food.
Something along those lines, yes.
Food. Funny word when you say it a lot. Food.
Well, just a sandwich or two. What's that?
What?
Over there, bubbling in the corner.
Oh, that's a coffee percolator, Superintendent. Heidi's demonstrating it.
Oh, Tupperware, is it?
Oh, yes.
Funny smelling coffee.
It's an Oriental blend from Bangkok.
Strangely familiar aroma. Oh, well, better get back to it.
Hang loose.
What?
As they say.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
Something wrong, sir?
Hmm? No, oh, no, probably nothing, Endicott Heap.
Rod, sir?
What? Just something not quite... Oh, it doesn't matter.
While I've got your attention, sir...
Mm?
Sir, oh, thank you. Can I just tell you that I'm showing around a very nice couple called the Dashwoods, and they seem quite interested. Now, I think if you made an immediate... Don't worry, Mr. Kibblewhite. I think we're going to get the price you want with no problem at all.
Lovely, lovely. Yes, well, Mr. Bray, what do you propose in settlement? I never said anything about chopping your legs off, Mr. Bray, and you just tried proving that I did in a court of law. Yes. Exactly.
Derek?
Yes, my love. No, you hang on, Mr. Bray, or there'll be trouble.
I'm very worried about these policemen. Well, they're odd, don't you think?
Are they?
Especially the one who keeps dressing up as a vicar. And that girl insisted on disinfecting all the coffee mugs before they used them. You can't call it normal behaviour.
Well, not everybody can be as normal as we are, you know, Donna.
We are very lucky, aren't we, Derek?
And very normal, Donna.
Yes. Do you want your toga ironed for this evening, Derek?
Oh, I thought as much. There's going to be developments, are there?
Oh, I think so, yes.
Excellent, excellent.
Do you want the Augustus Caesar or the Caligula?
Are you sure, sir?
I'm fairly sure.
A hooker?
Yeah.
A Tupperware hooker?
Yeah.
I can't see it in the catalogue. Oh, you must have been mistaken.
Story of my life since I took on this job.
You're not finding it easy, sir?
Endicott Heap's right. I'm not cut out for command.
Endicott Heap? But he worships you.
What?
He's always singing your praises to the rest of us.
My leadership qualities, you mean?
Well, it's more your personal qualities than professional. You know, what a kind man you are, how thoughtful, how sensitive, things like that.
Oh, I'm touched, deeply touched.
And how attractive he finds those qualities in a man.
Attractive?
Yes, sir.
In what way attractive?
Well...
You sure he said attractive?
Oh, yes, sir. You see, in many ways, he found losing the deputy assistant commissionership a very liberating experience.
Hmm, has he?
For years he had to keep his real emotions locked away, but now...
Oh, yeah, I get the drift, Nutkins. You seem to know a lot about this.
Oh, I've got certificates in child psychology.
How did you ever come to be posted to this squad, Nutkins? You're efficient, you're well qualified, practical.
Hygienic.
So why did your chief constable want to get rid of you?
For the same reasons. I showed him up for the grossly inefficient, totally unqualified, deeply unhygienic slob he really was.
In other words, you were too good at your job?
I also resisted his far from subtle advances.
Honestly,
that man could beat a cliché into whimpering submission at 50 yards. Mm. What was a nice girl like me doing in a uniform like that? Even dragged up the how his wife didn't understand him chestnut. You'd think men would at least pay a girl the compliment of being original. How's your wife, by the way, sir?
She doesn't understand me.
I see.
Actually, it's not true. I don't understand her.
Well, that's much more interesting. Go on.
Her teeth are coming between us.
That was smart.
No, it's a mental problem. There's nothing wrong with her teeth, really. Her mouth's a cathedral of modern dentistry, but... you don't have any problems with your teeth, Nutkins?
Not a single filling, sir. Look.
Oh, yeah. Lovely. Lovely little pearly white canines.
Thank you, sir.
Sharp, too, aren't they?
They've been known to nip, sir.
Nutkins.
You can call me Justine, sir.
Oh, lovely name.
She's the heroine of a novel by the Marquis de Sade. My mother liked the pictures.
Justine,
Sir, could I have a word with you? It's very, very urgent. You must take immediate action. Immediate.
What's happened, Endicott Heath?
Rod, sir. Hmm? The Dashwoods have made an offer on the house. If you still want to be in with a chance, you're going to have to top it right now. The Kibblewhites are very keen to sell.
I don't want to buy the house, Endicott Heath.
Then what the hell are you wasting my time for?
Come out of roll, Roderick.
I mean, God! There are lots of other clients interested.
Roderick!
What? Oh, God. I'm sorry. Once I'm in character, something takes me over. Brando says much the same thing, actually.
Mm. I'll go and haggle with the Dashwoods.
Oh, goody.
I love a good haggle. Mm. I sometimes buy things that are nowhere damaged, just so I can take them back to the shop and complain.
They're in the lounge with Mrs. Kibblewhite and her party.
All right.
Their other friends have arrived, and I must say things seem to be warming up. They asked Mrs. Dashwood if she'd like to be a Nubian slave girl. Very odd.
Yeah, I better come down with you. There's something not quite right here. Mm. Are you familiar with hookers, Endicott Heath?
You mean one of those complicated devices whereby smoke is drawn through an arrangement of water bowls and flexible tubes in order to provide a cleaner, purer passport to smoking pleasure, sir?
Yeah.
No, I'm not familiar with those at all. Why do you ask?
Oh, no reason. What about opium? Would you recognise opium if you smelled it?
I tend to leave that to the sniffer dog, sir. Or my chums in the city.
Well, I'll tell you what will happen if the outcome of this discussion isn't satisfactory, shall I, Mrs. Hogarth? I shall be forced to invoke the penalty clause of the contract and repossess the windows. Yes, I know, it's February. No, it's not my fault the pension doesn't go far these days. Oh, Superintendent, would you be so kind? I've just got a few minor details to wrap up here.
Right.
Another one of his henchmen, eh? Well, you can beat me up till I'm black and blue if you like, but I can't pay any more, do you hear? I can't. He's taken everything I own in lieu of payment for those windows. House, car, patio furniture, even my dog. Yes, he even sold little Spot for vivisection. So tell him, please, all I need is a few more weeks. By then the twins should have found some more chimneys to sweep and my wife will be working a better patch. All I need is time, do you hear? A bit more time.
Mr. Bry! How good of you to call. I think we'll adjourn to my study, shall we?
Oh, no. Not the study again. Not again,
come
please.
Along, Mr. Bray. Off your knees and up the stairs.
Oh, no.
Oh, your wife called, Mr. Brabazon.
Oh, yeah.
There was some good news and some bad news.
Huh.
The bad news is that the germs have started attacking her teeth again.
Oh, no. And the good news?
I sold her some lovely new windows, the Bell model. Oh, this way, Mr. Bray. Excuse me, Superintendent.
Uh, oh,
Superintendent.
This way, Mr. Bayard.
You get that, sir. I'll pop in the lounge and find the Dashwoods.
Hello?
Humby?
Hello?
Anything to report, Humby?
I'm under attack by starlings settling down for the night, sir. It's turning very nasty up here.
Yeah.
Very much, you know, like that Alfred Hitchcock film. What was it called?
Yeah, The Birds.
Pardon?
The Birds.
No, I don't think it was that one, sir.
Anything to report from number 42?
Not a dicky bird, sir.
Keep at it, Humby.
Repeat, do not go in there.
Nuckins.
It's terrible what's going on in there. Terrible.
What's so terrible about a Tupperware party?
You ask the Vestal Virgin.
Don't stand there, super. Get your toga on and let's party.
This is all rather unorthodox, isn't it, sir?
Unorthodox? Mm. By no means, Superintendent. Good business. You see, as well as being an agent for Tupperware, my Don has shown great entrepreneurial initiative and has also got a nice little line.
Lingerie.
Well, it's called the Aphrodite range, apparently. Modern silk next to the skinwear based on ancient Roman designs. When I looked in here earlier on, it was like a scene from I, Claudius.
You know, today's really opened my eyes, Nutkins. We put ourselves through hell to maintain society's values, sustain law and order and all that. And what do we find when we look behind the middle-class facade we're striving to uphold? Extortion, torture, drink, drugs, Roman orgies and total moral anarchy.
It's disgusting, isn't it, sir?
I want some of it, Nutkins.
Sir?
Why should I get left behind?
Sir?
From now on, I'm going to grab what I want when I want it.
Oh, look, there's Endicott Heath.
No, madam, I don't care if you are one of the Sabine women. What you suggest is totally out of the question.
That woman's got her tongue in his ear in a most unhygienic way. I'm going to have to rescue her.
You may have escaped for the moment, Nutkins, but my moment will
come.
What
do you think of our little soiree, Mr. Brabazon?
Oh, it's opened my eyes, Derek. I can tell you, for years I've crept around obeying orders, trying not to offend, but now I've seen what goes on behind the bamboo blinds and the Art Deco neck curtains. Well, everything's on offer, isn't it?
Work hard, play hard and grab it while it's there. That's our motto.
That's where I've been going wrong all these years, Derek. I've got to be like you. Throw off the shackles of conventional morality.
Well, I wouldn't say that we exactly...
No, I'm going to be reckless. Throw caution to the winds.
More hashish?
Why not? To hell with conventional middle-class values.
What did you say?
I said to... What's up? What's everyone looking at me for?
I think we're a bit shocked that anyone could... To hell with conventional middle... What do you take us for, Superintendent? Anarchists?
Hey, listen...
I told you, Derek, didn't I? Under our own roof... Bolshevik!
Heaven knows we are broad-minded people, Superintendent. But we know where to draw the line. What you so disparagingly call middle-class values, in fact, values that you choose to publicly insult in our very own lounge, stroke dinette. Yes. Heaven knows I'm not a violent man, but I'm not afraid to throw you out physically if need be.
No, take your hands off me. I'm a police...
You put him down, you bit of a...
Well, thank heavens, at last. Oh, dear. No, I haven't missed anything, have I, sir? No, do you know, I had to go to Godalmingham back before those batteries eventually went flat. Oh, look at me. I'm covered from head to toe in yoghurt. No, madam. No, please, no. No, I can wipe it off, thank you. There's no need to... Well, oh, actually, that's quite nice, thank you. Yes, by the way, sir, there are some chaps creeping about in the garden. When I challenged them, they told me to keep quiet because they were from the local police.
It's going to take a few memos to explain this.
Arrested by the local flatfoots. How bitterly embarrassing.
Are you feeling better, sir?
Well, just for a moment there, I saw a chance. A light in the darkness, a sniff of freedom. But what do I get? Disappointment, professional humiliation, and 3 bruised ribs.
Oh, forgot to tell you, sir.
Yes, Humby?
I intercepted a phone message from number 42.
I've got it on my little tape recorder if you want to hear it.
The Satanists. Oh, yeah. Go on, play it. It may be evidence.
Yes, hello.